you DC fans, we are back. Well, I know I'm back because I was never gone. You heard my beautiful, wonderful, majestic voice last week. Huh?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Oh, and that other voice you hear is Carrie. She is back with me. Carrie, what's up? Welcome back.
Thank you.
How was Batman training?
Batman training was excellent. Lots and lots of hours of getting pummeled. It was good.
And learning how to fit into plastic suits to get...
No.
Which Batman trained you, though?
Oh, I think Ben Affleck's Batman trained me. Because, I mean, look at how well that Batman moves compared to the others. Maybe the animated Batman trained me.
Well, if I could be trained by any Batman, I know this is going to shock a lot of people, and that's okay. I want to be trained by Christian Bale's Batman.
Who are you? What have you done with Mike?
So I can't wait because in like a month, we're going to be talking about Batman Begins on Caped Chronicles. And I'm really excited about that because a lot of people think I absolutely crap and hate the Nolan trilogy Batman. And I want to go out on a limb here and say I do not hate the Nolan trilogy Batman. I think Christopher Nolan did a phenomenal job. I think the stories were great. I think Christian Bale was a great Batman. However, the only thing I don't like his deep Batman voice.
Oh.
When he, because it felt like he was doing the same voice as Batman as he did as Bruce. And it just, his voice kind of threw me off. But other than that, the movies, guys, were great. I don't know why everybody thinks I hate Nolan trilogy. I just don't like his voice when you're, I'm Batman. I don't like that mess.
Okay.
By the way, did you know that he lost his voice 3 times during Batman Begins because he had to make that guttural voice sound the whole time?
I'm shocked. Really, I am.
I know. Anyways, but we're not here to talk about Nolan Church. That's for Caped Chronicles. We'll get into that here at the while. But this is DC Talk, and it's been a crazy couple of weeks. It's going to be a crazy couple of recording weeks with people traveling. But don't worry, we have your DC content. All right, we want you to have it. It's coming. One of us will be on here to give you your excellent DC content. And we want you to do what you can to let us know what you think about it. So go to randomchatter.com/community. Email us. Find us on Twitter. We'll get all that in just this little bit. Go on Discord. Talk about some thoughts that you have. And guys, I made an announcement earlier. Go and rate us. Wherever your Apple Store or your podcast, you get it. Rate us. Reach out to us, but mainly go to randomchatter.com/community because that's how you can get involved with our Discord channel. Welcome to all the new Discord members as well that's come and became Patreons as well and contributors to our network. Thank you so much. I believe German Boba was one in Discord name.
Yes.
He became a new Patreon contributor as well. So thank you so much for joining us on that area. When you go to randomchatter.com/community, you can also go to our TeePublic store. We have our new DC logo in there. Matter of fact, David in our Discord community as well got a DC Talk t-shirt and showed us on Discord. And it looked pretty cool. I must say, that is an amazingly good looking logo. And Carrie, didn't you get something too?
Yes. Oh yeah, I did. I wore our DC Talk shirt when I was up training with Batman.
Ooh, sweet. Maybe. Yes. And next week we'll have a special guest. We're gonna have Robert Pattinson.
No, that's not happening.
Okay, we're really not. We tried,
really,
guys. We tried. We tried.
No, we shouldn't even.
I know.
Hint at that.
I know.
we're out of that league.
Well, Carrie, have you been watching any movies or DC movies lately?
Not DC movies. I still need to watch Constantine.
Yep.
Probably tomorrow over breakfast.
That's such a great movie to watch for breakfast.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
If I can watch Swamp Thing over breakfast, I can watch pretty much anything.
I've been watching. I finished Constantine today to get ready for Caped Chronicles.
Yeah.
So by the way, if you have not listened to Caped Chronicles yet, we're going to be discussing Constantine with Keanu Reeves from back in 2005 here tomorrow. So make sure you watch it before that episode comes out so you can hear our thoughts on that one and how awesome and man-crush-like Keanu Reeves is. So
we can talk about how he actually emotes in this movie.
Yes. But But I've also been binging Stranger Things. I've got a couple episodes left of season.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
I got a couple episodes left of season two. I love Stranger Things, and guys, all I can say is, hey, something strange has happened around the Random Chatter Network. But anyways, we're gonna swap things up a little bit tonight. So for the first part of tonight's discussion, we're gonna talk about the TV shows from the last couple weeks, because we didn't have any last week. So we're gonna cover two Swamp Things, and we're gonna cover two Kryptons. And the reason why we're going to do DC TV discussion first is because we want to do our news second, because we have a discussion topic. It's not going to take a long, I don't think it's going to be a long discussion topic, but we're just going to kind of look at some things that's pretty interesting. So we're going to go ahead then and move then into, if there's nothing else, Carrie?
Nope.
Our
not at all.
DC TV discussion. First up, Swamp Thing, Season 1, Episode 3, He Speaks. Alec is haunted by what he has done as the Swamp Thing. As the mysterious disease continues spreading through the town, Mariah, a new menace crawls from the swamp. Professor
Yay.
Snape, Cajun Professor Snape, is back and for revenge.
Not for long.
I know, it was good to
Not
see him
long.
Again.
It was good to also see him go away.
Good.
Yes.
I don't watch this over breakfast, Carrie.
What?
I don't watch this over breakfast.
I guess I have a strong stomach for this.
I watch it at night at like 11:30 at 12 o'clock.
Oh well, as long as you can sleep after that, sure.
Oh yeah.
I'm thinking Maria either has psychic powers or she's just being haunted.
I don't know. I've been trying to pinpoint it. I think something.
There's a lot of psychic and supernatural stuff going on there. I mean, hey, the swamp turned Alec into a ginormous plant monster. So,
I think she draws her power from the swamp somehow. I don't know how, but I think she is somehow channeling the darkness
Maria,
from the swamp.
Maria or the fortune teller?
No, Maria. I think somehow she is channeling the darkness, because even Alex said that the darkness is spreading. So I'm wondering if she's unbeknowingly channeling the darkness of the swamp somehow, some of the mystical powers that's going on, and or maybe she does know.
I don't know. I think we this is more of my notes from the next episode, but I think that this is. You know, we know that Avery Sunderland has been messing around with stuff in the swamp, and
he's also been messing around with somebody else.
Well, yes.
Anyways,
yes. But so we know that Sunderland's been messing around with stuff in the swamp, and the sad thing about this show being canceled is that this has the potential to have a really powerful environmental message about how when you mess with Mother Nature, it bites you.
Yep.
And for the sake of this show, it bites you back hard. And like
literally, the next episode.
Oh yeah. No kidding. But I the sad thing I think about this cancellation is that this could be a very, very good way to illustrate how messing with nature can backfire on you big time, especially, you know, with what's going on in real life and stuff like that. So the fact that this is not the fact that it's canceled is kind of sad.
Yeah,
and I find myself unwillingly getting attached to the show, even though I know we only have 6 episodes left.
Yeah, and I think that's besides just that too. I think part of my problem with the show getting canceled as well is that I'm actually starting to like it to a point. I know, and I think there's going to be so many storylines that they could go with, and so many characters you want to explore. Like you know, we're going to talk about Finn Shepard here in a little bit too. And there's so many different storylines that they could explore that you're not going to be able to see them explore, and people and character development they're not going to have. So I do think there were some problems with the show, but I'm excited that we're getting what we're getting with the show.
Me too.
But so Avery Sunderland, you mentioned Sunderland. We know he's in debt.
Yep.
And there's always something with these guys. So it's funny that he's in debt, and the money person in the family is really
the wife.
Right. I did not see that, but it's really the wife. So that's pretty interesting. We also see that he was trying to sleep with the lady officer while his wife was upstairs.
Apparently that's happened before as well.
Yeah, the little dog. I think so. You probably mentioned this too. I think you think that I was wrong about the male officer.
I don't think Matt's the one who killed, who tried to kill Alec. I'm still thinking that it's Avery.
Well, what about Avery or maybe the female officer somehow? Because obviously, there's a little something going on.
That I don't know. I don't know. I think. I don't know. I think the way you saw him, and this is bleeding over again into the next episode, but the way you saw him getting rid of the body.
Yeah.
Of the the guy, the newspaper man in town, or is it the insurance guy?
It was the bank guy who gave him the loan.
Yeah. The way you saw him getting rid of that body, he's clearly done something like that before.
Yeah.
And he seems like the kind of person to take out his own dirty laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if he thinks that it's going to. Especially so that it doesn't, you know, bite him in the ass again.
Yeah. I did quote.
He doesn't have any other witnesses. It's just him.
Right. And yeah, it's gonna bite him bad too. I do like the conversation Mr. Woodrow has with Abby when he's dissecting the thing. He says, I quote, "I prefer to consult with someone who has a vague understanding of the subject matter."
Yeah, but he wasn't talking about her.
But it was just...
He is such a condescending...
Jerk.
Yes.
Right. But speaking of Abby ought to be having nightmares for life after Cajun Professor Snape shows back up.
Between that episode and the
next episode, this girl will never be sleep again.
She clearly has some issues she needs to work through.
I did like to see Finn Shepard. It was nice to see him.
Yes. I'm trying to figure out what his connection to Abby is supposed to be.
I don't know. Oh,
so clearly he has to help her out somehow.
And
clearly he has some kind of
fortune. That's changing.
From what it's changing, but and this is going and again I'm just gonna bleed over into the next episode because clearly he has some kind of karmic debt that he needs to pay off, and somehow helping Abby is going to maybe fix that.
What if? No, never mind.
What if?
No.
No.
I was gonna say something like so? Maybe what if he would be this universe's Constantine or Zatanna's father?
No.
Somehow, but it's just it wouldn't work.
No.
But by the way, for those who didn't get the Finn Shepard reference, that's his character's name in Sharknado.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go, Lizzie. There's your shout out. I love Sharknado too. But I know I don't know what's going on with his character. We do know that his fortune changes now that everything's gone to the crapper.
Yeah.
But you know, speaking of the next, let's go ahead and move on to the next episode. So that was season one, episode three. Since we're talking about these things now, season one, episode four. This one is called "Darkness on the Edge of Town." While Swamp Thing senses a growing darkness within the swamp, Abby's return dredges up her dark history with the Sunderlands. We learn more about the mysterious Dan Cassidy. Some snakes are just hard to kill.
Yeah, especially when they're not really there.
If it all else fails, he just stuck his hand.
I had issues with that. And full disclosure, I did stop watching Supernatural back in season three, but that was one of the things that almost got me to stop early on, is the watching the guy put his hand down the
garbage disposal.
Garbage disposal, yeah.
Phew.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't move on to the next storyline because, alright, so I felt like this story, so the whole storyline goes that a corpse falls out of a tree and ends up, his guy's arm ends up getting caught in his mouth, and the guy ends up trying to get his arm out. While he does, he scratches his arm and he gets infected with something. We don't know what it is yet. We mm-hmm. later find out that it's the darkness from the swamp needs a new host. See, yeah. I thought it just spreads to multiple people at first. I wasn't picking up on that it was transferring from person to person. It'll be one person at a time. But
yeah,
it felt like a storyline for a zombie movie, did it not?
It did, except that it wasn't spreading like a zombie.
Right.
Like a zombie movie does.
Right. It seemed like it would take one person over, and then when that one person's about out to death, they would scratch somebody else, and then that person would get it. And then eventually, Abby would get scratched in mm-hmm. the end, and she knew from talking to Swamp Thing that it belongs in the swamp, so she took it back. He took it into himself, and then eventually put it back into the body it came from, and then the swamp ate the body that...
Nature took back the
darkness. Because it was never supposed to leave.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's pretty much that episode. That's really cool how we just did that all in like a few seconds there. We learned a little bit more about the past of Abby in this episode.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We learned a little bit more about the female police officer as well.
Yeah.
Which she's afraid of. So she's got some nasty past too about something. We had a crawfish boil. By the way, have you ever been to a crawfish boil?
No, I have not.
Oh, they're amazing, Carrie. So good. Can you tell I'm from the South?
Maybe just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Anything else about this episode? I know you. I don't know if you had some new insight or anything. It was pretty much just a. I don't want to say filler episode. It was one that they're starting to move the story. They're starting to make it realize that it's going to come down between the darkness in the swamp and the goodness and Swamp Thing in the swamp.
I don't know that I would call it a filler episode. It's
right.
You're starting to get the sense that, and this is where I was going with the environmental message. You starting to get the sense that Avery and probably Woodrow, through his chemicals, pissed off something in the swamp,
mm-hmm.
and now it's opening up a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it's going to open up a whole bunch of problems, that's for sure.
Yes.
So, all right, anything else about Swamp Thing?
I don't think so.
All right, so Carrie, bring us into Krypton. We're going to talk about two episodes of Krypton here.
Okay, so Krypton, Season 1, Episode 1, Light Years from Home. Segel is stranded far from home while his grandfather leads a rebellion against General Zod.
All right. So Seg has spent 6 months in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah. It's amazing he's still mostly sane.
We now know that Adam Strange has been gone for a while. mm-hmm. and trying to get back, and somehow Seg's grandpa makes it back from the Phantom Zone.
Well, that was at the end of season one.
Right, but I had forgotten about that in season one. So yeah. That's interesting. It's amazing that Adam Strange's character has always been weird, and it's just unusual that he doesn't stand out because he's obviously wearing very different clothing from everybody else on Krypton.
You know what, they kind of addressed that in the beginning of the first season, and they never really said anything after that. I'm not sure why, but I don't know, maybe he has some kind of like scent, like thing that cloak of like non, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm yeah.
We now know that Seg has a son.
Yes.
And I did get confirmation that was Jor-El.
Oh?
Yes.
Because that's not his name right now.
Right. But that would be Jor-El. We don't know how it's going to change, but I did confirmation that was supposed to be Jor-El. Now, the writers mm-hmm. could decide to change that and make Jor-El come on down the line a little further through another route. But with everything going on with Lyta, we're going to see something... something's amiss between Lyta and Seg. So a lot of people are... So the question was, when is Jor-El going to come? Because obviously Seg is going to have a kid with somebody.
Yeah.
In order for Jor-El to come along. So a lot of people are pushing Nissa and Jor-El.
Okay, my guess is that whatever Nissa is doing this season is going to get her killed, and they're going to have... And Seg's gonna have to raise the kid on his own.
Yep. But anyway, so that's
and
pretty interesting.
The kid's name.
So we're already getting Jor-El in season two. That would be awkward. But cool.
Yeah, awkward. Especially since he's currently with that's next episode.
Right. I know you have one point under your nose, so we're waiting because that's at the end of the episode, Carrie.
Yeah, because you pretty much said everything I was looking
right.
to say. I just have the one addition because I want one.
I know. Hey, we'll get there. Doomsday. So we haven't seen Doomsday in this episode yet. I love the idea of this maybe being a multi-season arc with Doomsday, not just bringing him in because Krypton is only 10 episodes.
Right.
So I would love for them to do the rebellion against Zod this season. And then at the end of this season, maybe be the cliffhanger where Doomsday comes up. And then make Doomsday the big bad of season three, because we still have a problem with Brainiac too now.
Yeah, true. Although Brainiac is currently Seg's problem.
Yes.
But
so
I feel like
if you're adding General Zod, if you're adding Brainiac, and then you add Doomsday, that's a lot of big bads that they're throwing into one season of Krypton. And if they're looking for a multi-season series, they need to spread mm-hmm. it out. So I would rather them just maybe do like glimpses of Doomsday here and there like they're doing, but never
yeah.
fully give us Doomsday yet. I can't remember what other show did that. Some other recent show I was watching did that. They give like glimpses here and there.
Okay, my only issue with keeping Doomsday around for so long is that we've seen in past versions of him that he is pretty much the unstoppable thing that you unleash when you want to basically destroy a planet. And how are you going to stop him on a planet where no one has powers?
I don't know. So,
because we're not going to Earth yet.
No.
Yeah.
Moving on, I think Lyta has straight up gone wicked, Joe.
Lyta's definitely dealing with some stuff.
Yeah, she.
I'm not sure if she's either been brainwashed by Zod at this point, or if she is starting to see Zod for what he is.
Well, she loses it in the next episode, and we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
But she loses it. I think she is truly bought into him, and then even though she has bought into what he's pumping out, mm-hmm. I feel like she starts to turn back away again from him, and mm-hmm. somehow by the end of next episode, she gets pulled back in.
I don't know. I think her feelings for Seg and the fact that she thinks that Seg is dead is really messing her up. And then add to that what Zod is trying to do.
Her son is, you know.
What her the and.
That could be another reason. Maybe it's family loyalty.
I can see that she started to drink the Kool-Aid, but has kind of immediately regretted it.
Yeah.
And now she's dealing with the results of what she's been doing, or what she's wrought.
See, you think Nyss is dying this season. I think it's going to be Lyta.
I think it could be both. Either or both.
Okay. Speaking of Zod, though, it's amazing that Zod really thinks he beat Brainiac and survived.
Well, I mean, we don't know what happened between... I think... Did we see Zod kill Brainiac last season?
Nope. We just said that he defeated Brainiac in the 6 months we didn't get.
Right.
That's all we get is that, you know, we beat Brainiac, we survived is what he says. Like, oh, okay, cool. Speaking of Brainiac...
Well, if no one was around to see him beat Brainiac, no one can argue that he didn't.
That's right.
But we know that at least the version of Brainiac that's been on Krypton got trapped in the Phantom Zone with Seg.
Right.
So...
And speaking of Brainiac, he looked amazing in the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. I occasionally had a hard time understanding him, but I think that might have been just my phone, listening to him on my phone and not the audio itself.
Okay.
Yeah, Darren Vex didn't last very long.
Neither did his head.
Nope. This is kind of reminiscent of his Game of Thrones character, who also lost his head, although it was slightly less messy in Game of Thrones.
I've never seen Game of Thrones.
I know you haven't.
Okay. I love seeing the Zeta Beam technology in action.
Yes.
That was cool.
That was cool. I think they did something with that last season, but yeah, I liked seeing it again. I really hope Adam figures out how to transport two people.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
With that device. Because otherwise they might have to steal Lobo's ship. I mean, motorcycle.
Speaking of Lobo, at the end of the episode, of Lobo, we got Lobo.
Yes. I want that detector. I want that detector.
Yeah, I know you do. So we got Lobo at the end of episode one. Carrie, why don't you tell us, go ahead and go into episode two so we can talk about Lobo now.
Yes. Okay, so Krypton, Season 2, Episode 2, Ghost in the Fire. Adam Strange and Seg evade a bounty hunter while General Zod uses Nyssa to further his cause.
Lobo.
The main man.
I love Lobo. I love this version of Lobo. I have to say, Carrie, I have a man crush on this Lobo.
And I don't think Adam has ever actually seen Lobo, but he has definitely heard of Lobo because I saw his face change
when Lobo's name.
Yep. Like, yeah. Oh no, Adam has heard of this guy.
Oh yeah, I loved how he was naming off all of his aliases.
Yes.
To say that was funny.
Doesn't have idea what his name means because he killed his parents
before they could tell him. Oh, that's this. Listen, we both had to say we are both crushing on this Lobo. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
He's
oh, by
great.
The way, healing factor.
Yes, that's pretty cool. because he'll be back in about 3.7 seconds. We got to go, guys. 3.7 seconds.
What?
Or
oh yes,
3.1 minutes or something like that. Whatever it was before he reheals himself.
Yeah, because Brainiac has somehow invaded Seg's mind, which apparently based on the previews. Is the is what next episode is going to be, basically Seg versus Brainiac in Seg's head for dominance.
That's a dangerous place to be.
It is a dangerous place to be. Not as dangerous as Batman's head, but, you know.
That's true. That's true. We know Nyssa has been contacting Zod now. She's with the Rebellion, but once the Rebellion, mm-hmm. she was alone for a little bit, she contacted Zod. By the way, that's not going to last. They knew she contacted Zod. I mean...
Oh, yeah, I think she did.
But we also understand she's doing what she has to for her child because her child's been taken.
Yeah, yeah. Zod has what will the person who will eventually be Jor-El at the moment, which doesn't make me nervous at all.
No, never.
Never. Not at all.
I mean, come on. This episode was Lobo. It's just Lobo.
It's just Lobo.
It's just Lobo.
Lobo dragging the guys through the woods
and having friendly chats with them on the trees.
Having friendly chats and talking about eating their brains out of each other's skulls. And oh, he did mention that this was, I mean, we knew from last episode that this was Brainiac's homeworld. He did mention that he was there waiting for Brainiac to come back.
Ooh.
And has his detector went off hard when it pointed at Seg, which is how we got confirmation that Brainiac really is in Seg's head.
Ooh. Speed of Seg.
Yeah.
Lyta, we are to mention that Lyta's losing it, and I'm going to call this now. I don't think this theory is going to come true, but I think there's going to be a confrontation between her and Seg.
And oh, yeah.
And I think Seg is going to have to kill her in that confrontation.
Oh, yeah, there has to be. By the way, I don't... Her mom is pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if her brother's actually dead. Or, I mean, I know the person getting her through the wastelands was basically in her head, but, I mean, wow.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, anything else about our DC TV, then?
I don't think so.
All right, guys. We've already talked about some TV. We're going to talk about a little bit about news. We're about 30 minutes into this episode. We're about 33, something like around that number. So we're going to go ahead and go and talk about our news. First up,
yep.
DC TV news. The CW has announced the fall 2019 premiere dates for all of
Yay.
Our shows. Sunday, October 6th, Batwoman will be at 8 o'clock Eastern. 9 o'clock will be Supergirl Eastern. Monday, October 7th, will be Nothing That We Need to Talk About. Tuesday, October 8th, at 8 o'clock will be the Flash season premiere and the Batman pilot encore.
Batwoman.
Pilot Encore at 9 o'clock.
Wrong member of the Bat family there, dude.
I know. And if you're a Riverdale fan like me, Wednesday at 8 o'clock, October 9th, will be Riverdale season premiere. Moving on. Tuesday,
October 15th,
The Flash will have a new episode, but Arrow will premiere its final season. It's starting final season at 9 o'clock. And then...
On October 15th. And then Black Lightning will premiere on October 21st, which is a Monday.
At 9 o'clock.
Yep.
Anyways, there's your fall premiere dates. Make sure you are aware of those and ready for when they come on. So that is all of our TV news. Let's talk about some DC Universe news, Carrie.
All right. So first up, public service announcement for all you people who have access to DC Universe and maybe don't have access to the sci-fi channel. Krypton season 1 episode 1 will be available on the DCU through July 2nd.
Ooh.
So you can also catch up on season 1 on the DCU, but episode 1 of this current season will only be available through the 2nd of July. So go get cracking at that.
All right.
Okay, and then, let's see, Sanaa Lathan has been cast as the voice of Catwoman in the Harley Quinn animated series. I am not familiar with this person.
Okay.
But that's hardly...
So, I'm trying to think. Hang on. I'm trying to think real quick. She played Vanessa in Blade, the first Blade movie.
Okay.
I think that's Blade's mom. Yes, that was Blade's mom in the first Blade movie. And she also played Alexa Woods. I'm sorry, Alexa Woods in Alien vs. Predator.
I haven't seen Alien vs. Predator. She has been done an array of characters for Family Guy.
And the Cleveland Show. She was Donna
Tubbs.
And the
Cleveland Show. Yep.
In the Cleveland Show. So I know her most from the Blade movie more than anything. Okay. But anyway, so yeah, that's cool. That's cool. This is a nice cast. We haven't had a lot of information about this show, but we know it's coming.
Yeah. And then also we have a first look at Superboy for Titans. That's looking good.
It is. He's wearing the jeans and a Superman shirt.
And the Superman shirt, the black and red Superman shirt, that's good. So Joshua Orpin as Superboy is looking good. And I can't wait for them to get season two released because, I mean, they can't just end it there.
No.
That was a bad cliffhanger, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, moving on to our general DC news, Mike.
All right. Michael Giacchino may have just hinted that he may be scoring the Batman. This comes on his Instagram account where he posted in Ireland a picture of a Batman statue on a building. Now, we know it's just a statue in Dublin, Ireland, which it could just be. But we also know that he has worked with Reeves, including the movies Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War for the Planet of the Apes, and did a great job. And he just did Spider-Man Far From Home. He's done Jurassic World, Star Wars, Doctor Strange, Star Trek, Toy Story.
He's done a lot of stuff.
Right, he's done a lot of stuff. Most famously, my favorite, Lost. So he did the score for the show Lost. So it could just be hey, he took a picture of Batman, but I think it could actually be a tease. I would love to get him on this movie.
That would be really cool.
By the way, I gave my approval to Robert Pattinson last week, Carrie.
I heard that.
Good. You should be proud of me.
I'm very proud of you.
This next one, Carrie's going to have to help me out a little bit. So Batman is apparently getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, a question was posed in Discord on fictional people getting stars. This is possible, correct?
Yes. Yes, there are actually 17 fictional characters with stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, including Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Bugs Bunny, Snow White, Woody Woodpecker, Big Bird, The Simpsons. Rugrats, Kermit the Frog, Godzilla, Donald Duck, Winnie the Pooh, the Munchkins from Wizard of Oz, Shrek, Tinkerbell, the Muppets, and Snoopy.
Awesome. So
all have stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So Batman is joining a very, very distinguished group of characters
in the first
with stars on the Walk of
Fame. Superhero to get
superhero.
On that list. Marvel.
I'm
just kidding.
Not Superman. Batman.
That's right. Batman is going to be on the Walk of Fame. I could dig it.
Yes.
The next bit of news is that DC is going to be retiring the Vertigo brand simply because of the fact that they are trying to bring everything under a single banner. For those who don't know what Vertigo comics are, you've heard the names or the shows of the people of Constantine, Preacher. Is Lucifer under that one?
Yeah, because Lucifer's in the same kind of universe as Constantine and Sandman.
So those are Vertigo comics and Vertigo characters. So those comics are going to be retired and rebranded under the single banner of DC as well.
Yeah. Now some of the comics that are more geared towards adults may be releasing under the Black Label,
right?
Which is the more adult. Versions of comics.
That's the one where
for
the
DC.
Where
that's where
Batman,
Last Night on Earth, and The Dark Knight Returns and stuff like that is probably going to be re-released.
For those who also know, that's the one that Batman got. The first Batman Black Label that was just released, Batman Damned earlier.
Yeah,
that one they had a lot of controversy with that one because they showed a little bit more of Batman than people really wanted to see. To put it mildly. Right.
Okay. Yep.
And we have.
But, I mean, he was alone. He was alone in the Batcave, and I guess that's.
It just happens. And we have a new section on here for news, Carrie. I want to mention this.
I saw
it's
that.
Called Rapid Fire News. So these are not ones that we're really going to discuss. It's just going to be, hey, we hit, we miss. We put it out there. We want you guys to know that these are some of the rumors, either rumors going around or actual pieces of news that are not worthy of, you know, a 5 to 10 minute discussion, but they're just quick so you know. So rapid fire news, Carrie. Let's hit them and go.
Well, okay, so Jason Momoa said he would be interested in playing Wolverine.
I dig
in
it.
The Marvel Universe. I can kind of see it, although he's a bit big to play Wolverine. I always picture Wolverine as being smaller, like stockier and stuff. Like I would see someone, and I don't know how tall Dave Bautista is, but I would see someone, you know, a little smaller, more stockier as Wolverine. But
okay.
I mean, Wolverine isn't one of my favorite characters. I don't hate him, but I think he's overrated. So I guess I'll be happy with whatever they do. I guess
Carrie's gonna be the new host of our new Fox podcast.
I am.
No.
Speaking of Dave Bautista, he has confirmed that he was in conversations with James Gunn over Suicide Squad.
Cool.
He's apparently an enormous fan of Suicide Squad and in all of its incarnations. But that's all that we have there. I would not object to seeing him in Suicide Squad or any DC title, but, you know, we shall see.
Yep.
And then finally, DC Comics has launched
My
an
goodness.
Official Wonder Woman Twitter account. So everyone go give Wonder Woman a follow on Twitter.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I dig it. I like it. So
it is at DC Wonder Woman, by the way.
There you go. Take it and go. All right. Yep. So a little bit of discussion here. We're not running. We're only at 42 minutes, so we're going to be a shorter episode. I know. It's going to be great.
Wow.
We're going to be a shorter episode this time. But there's some discussion going around as to who is going to helm the DC universe itself, movies, TV, that kind of thing, because we know that, like, for Marvel, it's Kevin Feige.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like the master architect behind everything. He's kind of the one that, you know, it kind of runs through him. He kind of plots out the storyline. So there's a couple people that have been suggested. The first one would be what we've already heard of, James Gunn. James Gunn is doing the new Suicide Squad too. Now, we also know he is going to go back and he is going to do the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 movie as well.
Yes. That is true.
So there's always some time where they can work with him, give him some time to go ahead and go do that one, because, you know, he's already made a commitment to that, which is fine, you know.
Which is fine, yes.
Right, it's fine. They can play nice more together. But the website WeGotThisCovered.com has heard, they said, that James Gunn has been appointed to get the DCEU back in shape. He is set to be involved in several upcoming projects as a producer, with his role is to oversee the cinematic universe. All right?
Yep.
So, even though he may not be explicitly credited, he will be in some capacity involved in all the films moving forward. Now, so we have that one, which is okay. I would be okay with James Gunn doing it. He does a good job on his movies.
Yeah, I agree.
The second one that kind of came up was J.J. Abrams. Now this comes from something else, okay? He's entering into final negotiations with Warner Media. Now, for those who know what Warner Media is, Warner Media is the baby child of Warner Brothers that when they were bought by AT&T, and it's also the one where they are going to be putting their stuff on streaming platform, probably through Warner Media as well. And that's where your DC stuff is going to flow through. It's going to be through Warner Media.
Right.
Well, he is in the final negotiations for a $500 million pact.
Wow.
With WarnerMedia, that would see his company, Bad Robot, create and develop new projects for Warner Brothers. With him
that
and his wife slash co-CEO, Katie McGrath, supervising other producers across film, TV, and digital platform, including Warner Brothers, more Warner Media's upcoming streaming service. So some people are saying that this $500 million pact with Bad Robot is also their way of saying, Bad Robot, you're going to be responsible now, kind of like Marvel Studios for Disney. Marvel Studios, you're responsible for the MCU. Hey, Bad Robot, you're responsible for the DCEU. Abrams, you're in charge.
Yeah.
So the discussion is this. We have two very talented individuals. Gunn is most known for Guardians of the Galaxy, in my mind. Abrams is most known, in my mind, for Lost, to just be honest. Because I've never seen, Alias. I know he's in Star Trek.
He's done Star Trek. He's done Star Wars.
Right. He's done Force Awakens.
He's also producer of Westworld, which is amazing.
Okay. He's also the director of the upcoming Star Wars movie, Rise of Skywalker. He's done Lost, like I said. What do you think about this, Carrie? What do you think about these two choices? And if you had to pick one when it came down to it, which one do you think would be the best one to kind of be the Kevin Feige of the DC universe?
I don't know that I would pick just the one. I wonder if we could maybe get both collaborating on the project in general, because I mean, I know with Marvel you have Kevin Feige kind of pulling the strings and making sure everything connects and all that, but you don't necessarily have to have just the one person at the top. You might want to have a couple of people, you know, bouncing ideas off each other and, you know, working to see what fits where and all of that. And I know that the DC movies have made it clear that not everything is going to connect, which is fine. They don't all have to connect.
Right.
But I think getting the larger DCEU where there are connections being made and there are hints at you know, a larger playground to deal with, that doesn't necessarily have to fall all on one person.
Right. You know, you're right. I agree. I don't think it has to. I think it would be good to have two heads, because that would give you, like you said, it gives somebody a chance to kind of bounce ideas off of and you know, something. And they're both fairly similar in their work.
Yeah.
And their ideas. You know, some of the other stuff Gunn has been involved with, he's wrote for the movie Slither, 2006.
Yeah.
He also directed that one. He wrote the screenplay for Dawn of the Dead remake in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of something else he's done. He's done Super, the movie Super, as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's kind of along the same lines as Gunn. I agree. I think it's hard to pick. My leaning would be more toward Abrams. Not that I don't trust Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I think Abrams has got a better track record as far as continuity and as far as... and by the way, you mentioned continuity earlier. We know that the Reeves trilogy, the Dark Knight anthology that he's going to be coming out with,
is not going to be part of the DCEU continuity,
right?
Which is fine.
Which is also fine. Which is, and the Joker's not supposed to be either.
No, it's not.
So I'm okay with
neither
that.
Neither is Birds of Prey, right?
No, I think Birds of Prey is supposed to be involved in the continuity.
Huh.
I think.
Okay.
But I think Abrams has got a better track record. I think because with Lost, he had to. I mean, the amount of mythology and everything else mixed up with Lost. And he had to keep track of all that.
Well, and yeah, and it's like and with the Star Trek movies, I know not everyone likes them, and I know that at least the first two movies they made a whole bunch of references that didn't seem to fit any kind of purpose other than to say, hey, look, this is actually Star Trek. None of which I will name because Mike won't get any of them. But if you're familiar with Star Trek at all, or at least the original series, and you've seen the JJ movies, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But they spent those first two movies.
I've seen
you know,
those movies.
Dropping hints here and there that to remind people that hey this isn't your Star Trek, but this is Star Trek. So he's overseen stuff like that, which can be good if done correctly.
Right.
I like the sequel trilogy for what they've been.
For Star Wars?
For Star Wars. I have issues with how dark the movies went and how and stuff, but I mean that's for another
right.
podcast.
But to me I see what you're saying, and the reason I like it is because he's been given major properties and trusted uh-huh. with major properties and uh-huh. has been very successful, regardless
yes.
of if you thought first Force Awakens was a knockoff of A New Hope. Okay. The dude come in and started the sequel trilogy and made buku money for Disney and
yeah,
did a phenomenal
agreed.
Job on that movie. He's coming in. He's been the one that's been entrusted with wrapping up the entire Skywalker saga
yeah.
in Episode 9. He created Lost, which again I love. He's done the Star Trek movies that you mentioned. He did a great job with Alias, from what I heard. Is Alias or Aliens? It's Alias, right?
Alias.
Alias was great and did phenomenal with him. The only thing, honestly, I can pinpoint on Gunn, and this is not a knock on him. Maybe he just has not had the breaks that Abrams has had. But the only thing that I can point on him is that he did a great job with Guardians.
Oh yeah, and he
brought no
he
name
knew those,
characters,
and he knew those characters well enough that they brought him in to write the dialogue for Infinity War and possibly for Endgame. So you see that he can work within a structure.
Right.
And get things to mesh the way they need to, which is fine. And like I said, if I don't have to choose, if you can get both of them teamed up, that would be kind of awesome.
I agree. I mean, you have somebody like Gunn who brought in characters like Star-Lord that were just, okay, cool, you know. Who is that again? You know, and he made those people relevant, and he made you care about
yeah.
them. He made you want to see them developed and made them household names now. So I agree with you. I think if they can get both and they can find a way to make it work, I think they would, you know, even if it's Gunn doing the directing and Abrams' company putting it out with Bad Robot, that could work out well. That way Abrams would still have some oversight. If you could get both and make it work, I think that'd be phenomenal. If I had to pick one, personally, I'd go with Abrams because I think he's proven
yeah.
himself. But if they went with Gunn instead, I would have no problem with it. I trust both these people well enough that they wouldn't. And you know, everybody's like, oh, DC's, you know, just scrambling. DC's not scrambling. Yeah, we had some issues. Yes, there are some things that we're having some problems with right now. But I think we're on the right track. I think we're on the uptick. I think we're going to be okay. I think everything kind of started with that you know, if Zack Snyder would just shh and let the past be the past and just move on. I think
yeah.
with Aquaman, things worked out well. I think with Wonder Woman 84 coming up, things are working well. So, anyways, I'd rather have both, but I'd have either one. No problem.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, listen, we want to hear your thoughts about that. We want to know what you think about that, and here's how you can do it right here. You can go to dctalk@randomchatter.com. You can follow us on Twitter @randomchatter. You can follow the podcast @DCTalkPod. You can find me @TheDCFanboy. That's @TheDC_fanboy. Carrie, where can we find you?
You can find me @CarrieBlackfire42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire42.
And listen, we are coming up on our 50th episode. We are coming up on our 50th episode. This is episode number 48 you're hearing right now. So here's what we need from you. For our 50th episode, we want to hear from you. So email us, message us in Discord. Here's what we'd like. You could ask us something about us we can answer. Ask us some DC Comics questions that you have answers about. Questions, things that you just...
That you want answers
right,
about.
Right, that you want answers about. Ask us which comic book storylines in the DC Comics you would like to see live action or even animated, at least. And then, which animated movies do we already have that would make great live action movies that you would love to see live action? And we could talk about some of those. So that's for our 50th we got coming up here in a couple weeks, so make sure you get us all that. You can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. You got Guardians of the MCU. You've got the main Random Chatter flagship show. You've got the Tight Beam for The Expanse. There's tons of stuff at randomchatter.com. Make sure you get there. You can leave reviews for us, again, on wherever you get your podcast. We want it. We will read your review on the air.
And finally, the music you hear in this podcast is Shotgun Senorita by Blue Stolly, and As Silly as the Sentence Sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, guys.
Lobo.
He's Lobo.
Yeah. Peace.
Peace.